The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and today's Investor Spotlight features Brian Grimes from episode 123. So this spotlight is all about how he began his contracting business in real estate. So tap in, really, really, really great insight from Brian. Let's get into it.
In real estate, you just got to figure stuff out. So I'm glad you mentioned it, and I'm glad that's something you were able to do pretty early on.
Yeah, I look at it like, Being a developer, being a real estate entrepreneur is like being a musician in some senses. Like if you talk to really high level musicians, they learn something new every day. And you should always be in that mindset. Like, no matter how good you get at this, there's always going to be some issue. Your job as a developer and an investor is to put out fires all day. So it's not to know what to do, it's to know where to go to figure it out. You're always going to be thrown with some new scenario that you haven't dealt with before. And it's just putting in that work, knowing the logical next step, and just keep taking that next step, and you'll get to the light at the end of the tunnel, per se. But definitely a good point to call out for sure.
Definitely, definitely. So you get to New York, you have the property in Philly, you're working. What happens from there? Like, were you at a point where you're like, you know, this is cool, I'm gonna just rock with this? Like, or what was the next step? How did things progress from there?
From there, I'm like, I'm still all in. I mean, I got a property, I'm cash flowing $1,000 a month. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And I'm thinking, I got to get another one of these. So in my transition from Philly to New York, I start selling Medicare, right? Because I'm all commissioned. So I'm just like a renegade. I'm like, where's the money at in sales? Let's go after it. So I start selling Medicare insurance in open enrollment. And Medicare is just a big cash flowing like area, right? So in 2 months, I pull in maybe 30,000, which is a ton for me at that time. 30,000 cash, and I have a $15,000 residual income from that. That's now going to keep coming in year two, and in year three, it was maybe like 800 or 900 a month. So I have these renewals coming in, and I take all of that money and I buy a duplex in South Jersey. Because I'm just like, I'm already out of town, and I find a duplex for a bank owned $74,000 in a pocket called Sicklerville, which is on the Atlantic City Expressway. Nice duplex, doesn't need much. It's a little bit more rehab, but not really like a heavy full gut rehab, because the banks typically will take good care of the properties. And I end up renting out each unit for maybe $1,100 each, and that property's cash flowing over $1,000 a month on that duplex as well. So now I have two out of town. I'm bringing in good money every month, and I'm starting to deal with this complex. I call it the Clark Kent Superman complex. So
tell us about it.
You become a boss by night, an employee by day. So you put on your glasses, you go into work, and you're an employee, yes, sir, type of attitude. But in the back of your mind, you're like, I'm a boss. And everybody's treating you like a boss in real estate in your other life. And eventually one of those egos destroys the other. It's usually the Superman ego that destroys the Clark Kent, because it's hard to pretend to be an employee in mindset when you really are thinking like a boss. for during your lunch break or right after work or right before work. So people who are doing that transition from the 9 to 5 into real estate full time, they all struggle with this. A lot of people who've gone through it find it to be like very funny to term it this way, because that's exactly how it feels. It really is.
Definitely. And as far as sales, what got you into sales? You know, that's, you know, a lot of people in general, especially people who look like us, tend to go for what you would consider more secure jobs and consistent income and so forth. What got you into sales? I'm curious about that.
I grew up in an entrepreneurial family, right? So my father was in sales like his whole life. And you know, I grew up in the back seat watching him sell. He worked for Xerox, and he was a regional manager for the state of New Jersey. So he's ripping and running. He's selling faxes, copy machines, and just crushing it. And I learned a lot from that. I kind of grew up around that. My mother's also very entrepreneurial as well, with different business ventures and franchises. So I always trusted kind of energy, right? Like, and what I learned when I got into sales was there's something called like the 2-month delay, we call it. And that means you put out all this energy right now and you're not going to see any money from it for 2 months. There's a delay, just a time delay. And I started to see that happen when I got in sales, where I'm building a pipeline of activity for my energy. And that fascinated me. It made me want to remain an entrepreneur indefinitely. So I think sales was something that I attempted because I had seen it. Now, with the sales that I was in had a 90% failure rate. And I saw 90% fail. You know, like the guy cold calling next to you, and then the next month, no, he failed out. He's gone. And when you survive an environment like that, you become bulletproof, you become fearless. So I never viewed the 9 to 5 as security in that sense. I viewed it as more of a limit in terms of income. Like, I can only do so much a year here. Like, they're paying you $65K. And when it gets to bonus time, they're going to try to find any mistake that happened during a year to not give you a bonus or not give you a raise. And I viewed that as fine because my 9 to 5 was my partner. They were funding my real estate business, but I always had to be doing something that was unlimited, uncapped, that had infinite potential like that sales environment can offer.
Got you. So you got a spot in Philly, South Jersey. Did you continue in that particular area? Did you start finding other ways to acquire more property? Because at this time, it seems like you have that appetite to want to grow this thing.
Yeah. So next, I get inspired. I do a full gut job in Baltimore, in the hood of Baltimore. So I'm pushing this out of town thing, like as far as I can go. So I'm doing a full gut job in Baltimore. And that was a mess, but I learned a ton. Bought that property for maybe 20 grand from a wholesaler and just learned a ton going through that process. Probably took 8 months to get through the deal, and did that with my brother. And we own a bunch in Baltimore now together. We still buy and hold in parts of Baltimore, and Baltimore is a great city. But then when I started to get really serious about, like, how do I go from zero? I want to get like 100 properties. I want to get really serious. I came back to Philly and I started to build out a construction company that could handle volume. So I bought 3 properties, a couple blocks from LaSalle University on a rundown block, C-class neighborhood. One was a teardown. So the roof was in the second floor, first floor. First floor is in the basement. And then there's a pool of water if you want to go for a dip. And then there was a burnout. And then there was a shell. Mm-hmm. And bringing in the contractor, trying to run them through this project, that guy takes off with 40 grand and just disappears. And you start to get serious and say, look, if I'm going to survive this thing at this level, which is now trying to do it at a multi-million dollar level, I'm going to have to control everything. I need to become the GC. I need to become smarter than the realtors, the contractors, the lenders, than everybody, and start cutting out middlemen. So I started to go through that process and that iteration and building your own construction crew so that you can ultimately scale to the next level.
Gotcha. It's one thing I wanna touch on. So you mentioned that you bought these three properties and dude ran off of 40K. Talk to us about that. And it seems like that was the turning point for you. So tell us more, a little more about that, how that happened, what that experience was like, and starting the construction company thereafter.
Yeah, you'll rarely hear somebody running off with 40K was the best thing that ever happened to me. But that, you know, that's what I'm going to tell you to a degree, because it wakes you up a bit. But here's the contractor game. So my brother is a commercial contractor. He does granite on 100,000 unit buildings, right, all across the country. And he's telling me, look, you got to learn contractors. You're still an office guy. You're still white collar. You need to learn this blue collar game. And there's something called the contractor game. So here's what the contractor game is in a nutshell. A contractor comes in and they will give you an unbelievable price. And when you're new to the game, you're price shopping, right? You're thinking like, this is like going and buying a pair of jeans. Like, oh, I can get them for this. You can get this job done for this. Great. You're better than these other people that are trying to rip me off. But that's the key component of the game. Because they gave you an unbelievable price, things are going to not go right. And they're going to keep trying to get ahead of the draws. Give me an extra, you know, advance the draw. I'll get it done. Don't worry. I just need a little bit more money. Don't worry. And you're not going to be able to find another contractor that can do this project at this cost, which is what you committed to. So they kind of have got you there until you accept the fact that they're kind of full of it and they can't get it done at this cost. You don't want to wake up in that reality where, no, it's not going to cost 100K. It's going to cost $250,000. You don't want to wake up in that reality. So you stay committed, even though you're seeing evidence of things going wrong with this contractor. And eventually, when they become wise to the fact that you kind of are like, no, I'm not releasing any more money, this is not going to happen, they're going to take off at some point. They're going to stop answering the phone. They're going to do their disappearing act. And everything's just going to be realized at that point. So it's learning the contractor game. But also the only way that that can happen to you is if you don't understand the cost of construction, of materials, the time that it takes to put houses together in different phases, like the full phasing of a project. And that takes either time or mentorship.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.